Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapter 22, where we see that sometimes we can find ourselves in a spiritual slump. And in today's study, Pastor Dave encourages the believer in this state to stand up, get to your feet, and respond to God's call on your life. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 22.
So where we left off, again, almost 2 months ago, was David numbering the people of Israel against the will of God. And it's always dangerous to go against the will of God. You're asking for more than you can handle. I'm asking for more than I can handle when we go against the will of God. Amen? Have you found that to be true? You do something God says you really shouldn't do that in his word. You do it anyways, and you pay the price for it. It's miserable. It's always worse than we think. Sin will always take you farther than you wanted to go. It will always keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it will always make you pay more than you ever thought or intended that you would pay. That's a fact. You should write that down and memorize that. It will be a reality in your life every time you ignore the warnings of God. And David does that. He's in a season here where he ignores. He takes a census of his military might, his military men, and the strong arm, if you would, the strength of the nation was never his military personnel. It was always the Lord, Jehovah, fighting for them. And as a result of David giving in to temptation and going against what the Lord showed him to do, which was right, there are some 70,000 men that die as a result of judgment from God. And David's heart is crushed, it's broken, and he knows that there has to be a sacrifice that is made. Blood has to be shed so that the plague or judgment is stayed. Same in our lives here tonight. There is no washing away of our sins except for the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Amen? So David understood that. He purchases a threshing floor from Ornan. You guys remember this? Ornan, he buys that threshing floor from him. Ornan's like, I'll just give it to you. David's like, no way. This needs to cost me something. There's a bill of sale for Mount Moriah, a.k.a. Calvary, where Christ, some thousand years later, would hang on a cross for the sins of the world. Isn't that interesting? That's the place where David's sacrifice would be made. That's the place where blood would be shed. Listen to this. That's the place where Abraham would have offered his son Isaac. Ironically, we're going to be there on Sunday morning. It's the place where Elijah will have fire come down upon his sacrifice with the spectators of the worshipers of Baal. Remember that whole thing there? That very place, there's a bill of sale in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Who does Mount Moriah belong to? The descendants of David. Who are the descendants of David? Israel, the Jewish people. It's right here in your Bible, okay? This belongs to the Jewish people. David purchased it. There was blood that was shed. God honored the sacrifice of this messed up fallen king. And David is thankful. He turns into, his mourning to worship. And it says that David says, in the midst of this scene, there is no chapter break. If you're just coming in, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1. David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. Listen, is David allowed to build a house? No. So David, knowing that he's not permitted to build the house of God, as we're going to see here tonight when he speaks to his son, it's because he has what? Bloody hands. He's a man of war. God says, you can't build my house. But David says this, okay, if I can't build it, at least I'm going to prepare it to be built. okay? And he's going to do all of the work for his son Solomon. He's going to set it all up. He's going to make it easy for his son to come and erect this temple, this building, this house of worship, to be a place for God's people to come in and to praise his name. By all means, it is really the temple of David in that sense. He gathers the stones. If you're interested, we will go and stand on some of those stones' remains. The very site where this would be built, we will go there when we visit Israel. It's fascinating when you go and you see these boulders that were brought in to build the house of God. He prepares iron, verse 3. You look at the detail here. He prepares iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, for the joinings in brass in abundance without weight. I mean, like, he clears the shelves of Home Depot and Lowe's, like every building store that you could think of, he brings it in all the way to the nitty-gritty. Even the nails are going to be provided by the king for his son and for the nation of Israel. He brings it in abundance. Cedar trees, that was no easy thing, a huge undertaking to bring in these humongous trees to build this building. Cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians. And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David, verse 5, if you're with me, verse 5, he said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. How many of you are using King James? That's what your translation says. If you're not using King James, most likely whatever other translation you got is my son is young and inexperienced. Is that what your translation is for those of you not using King James? Does anybody else have a different word besides inexperienced? Okay, that's the idea here of this phrase. My son Solomon, he's young and inexperienced. He's young and he's tender. When you're young, you're sort of innocent, aren't you? I mean, not completely innocent, obviously, but you're more innocent than you are as you accumulate years. The longer you live, the more you become defiled and even a bit cynical if you're not careful, right? You're just exposed more, you see more, and you have more of a critical eye, if you would, and that innocence is sort of gone rather quickly. David says, I am, in so many ways, an experienced warrior. I've gone through so much, and I want to disciple here. There's two construction projects that are entrusted to me, David is saying. One is real estate, a building, and the other is a boy. You understand? I got two construction projects entrusted to me, he says. One is a building, and the other is a boy. One is a piece of real estate. For there to be a place for God's people to come in and worship, by all means, a church. I have an obligation, even in my older years, David is saying, to prepare the church, if you would. And then I also have an obligation, a duty given to me from God to prepare a boy to be the spiritual leader of that church. This is powerful. David's saying at the end of his life here, I'm not done. I'm not hanging up the gloves yet. I'm not racking the spear yet. I'm not giving away my slingshot yet. If there is breath in my lungs, there's still more for me to do. Even if it's not exactly what I intended to do. Even if I don't get to do exactly what I wanted to do, there's still something for me to do. And I'm going to do it with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I'm going to disciple my boy. I'm going to minister to my boy. I'm going to teach my boy the lessons that I have learned through all the ages. They were not in vain. The goal is, I think of any father or spiritual father or mother or spiritual mother, is to teach our kids or our spiritual kids, if you would, the lessons that we have learned so that they too don't have to learn the same lessons. I mean, listen, you got to be crazy to not want your kids, your babies, or the kids that are around you in the church that you go to. You got to be crazy to not want to protect them from the very mistakes that you've made. Who doesn't want their children to live a better life than what we've lived? Like, who doesn't want the kids that you minister to or that are around you to do better than you've done? Isn't that sort of the heart's desire of all of us? Listen, if it's not your heart's desire and all you ever do is look down at the youth and criticize the youth, then you gotta do a heart check tonight. The Lord's entrusted them to us, and our desire should be, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to build the church with whatever gifts and resources God's given me, and I'm going to build the boy, whoever the boy is. I'm going to build the girl, whoever the girl is. I'm going to invest in the younger people, because if there's breath in my lungs, then God's not done with me yet. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, man, I don't know. I came in here thinking God surely must be done with me. I've been a basket case. No, if you've got breath in your lungs, God's not done with you. And he takes you home when he's done with you. So every single person here has no excuse. We're all inexcusable before the Lord. Nobody here can say, I've sinned too greatly. I've failed too badly. I've been a mockery to the Lord and to his name and to his church. Maybe that's true as far as the way that human eyes see you, but God doesn't see you with human eyes. Remember this, Jesus is the essence of grace. He essentially is the definition of grace. And he just gives second chances over and over and over again. And if he didn't take you home yet, that means he's still got plans for you. You're not perfected. You're not finished. There's still work to be wrought. I would encourage some of you. The devil wants to get in your ear and tell you you're too old. Your glory days are over. There's young people all around. Get out of the way. The devil wants to come in and tell you you've sinned too badly. You're a joke. Your testimony's been blown. The world knows about it. You've been made a mockery of the name of Jesus. You've said you're a Christian. You say you follow the Lord, and then your other foot's in the world in deep darkness, and people know it. You're a joke. And the devil wants to tell you that. He wants to get you to run. He wants to get you to flee. That's what condemnation is. It's always an endeavor of the devil to get you to leave the presence of Jesus. Conviction feels just as bad as condemnation. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. But it's not to get you to leave the presence of Jesus. It's get you to run to the presence of Jesus. You understand? David was an adulterer. Any of you that don't show me your hands, but any of you that have committed adultery tonight, and you think, man, because that's one of those things, man, like, I'm a marked person. I know it. No, listen, you're not nothing. God's forgiven you, and he washes over you. There's a place for you. Some of you are like, man, I've killed somebody. The pastor knew I actually went to prison. I killed somebody. David killed somebody. He's a murderer, and he's an adulterer, and he's insubordinate. He's all sorts of things, and God says, I'm still going to use you to prepare my house and to prepare my boy. You made great mistakes. Don't let them be in vain. Those who've been forgiven much love much. Use them to glorify God and how he can redeem and restore and give back the years that were lost to the cankerworm. Amen? David, he says to his son who's young and inexperienced, I'm so filled with passion for the topic of discipleship. We got to have it in the church. Whoever we're passing the baton to, we got to talk. We got to talk. We got to invest. We got to pour into the next generation. Nobody should have to be pastorless. Nobody should have to be without a spiritual mom or dad if they don't have a physical mom and dad that walks with the Lord. You older ladies in the church, Paul said to Titus, you are supposed to be admonishing the younger ladies. The older guys in the church, even if you don't got sons, you're supposed to be fathering the young guys. This is hard out there. It's crazy out there. There's pressures like never before. Social media is making it a million times worse. The young people, the guys and gals in their 20s and even 30s, they need the covering. They need the covering. Maybe your role's changing a little bit, but you're not done. You're not on the bench. God's got plans for you. And if you're young tonight, don't use that as an excuse as to why you can't be used. You're too young. Josiah was 8 years old when he was made king. So was Josiah Tommaso. So he thinks. He took it literal when he read that in the Bible. Young people are getting raised up all of the time in Scripture. In this study tonight, if I actually make it out of this chapter, David's going to change the years of the Levites of when they could be used from 30 to 20. You know something? I became senior pastor at 25, and I had a guy come and get my face and say, I can't believe that you, somebody who knows the Bible, would take a role that you know is inappropriate for you to take. Not even in the Scriptures did they start taking the role of a priest till they were 30. He must have never read those chapters. David, which is, if you're going to use the Bible to insult somebody, at least know what you're using. David's going to take the age from 30, he's going to reduce it to 20. John was in his teens when Christ called him. John the Revelator, John the Apostle. Not too young. How can you be too young or too old to an infinite God who's everlasting and has no age? If you're 100, you're just a newborn to Christ. It's all the devil in the world. David says to Solomon, he says, my son, he's young and he's inexperienced in the house that is to be builded for the Lord. Listen to what he says here. The King James is so amazing. It goes like this. It is to be exceeding magnifico. It's just really saying exceedingly magnificent, but it sounds a lot more poetic and rich the way that King James renders it. So much so, by the way, that they say that this place that David is going to instruct Solomon to build will be able to be seen when the sun hits the roof rightly, because the roof's going to be made out of gold, as you're going to see tonight, 100 miles away. I mean, David's like, the house of God has to be the greatest house out there. It's got to be exceeding magnificent, magnifical, of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. Start counting how many times David knows what he's got to do. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Like, I know what I got to do. Y'all got to know what you got to do. Okay, that's a word for everybody tonight. We'll take them a little bit as we go here. You got to know what you got to do. What are you here for? You got to stay in your lane and know what you got to do and just do it with all that you got. Some of you do a lot of stuff. You blow me away. You could do everything. He's not here tonight. I'll use him again tonight, Georgie. He could beat you up. He could lead you into worship. He could tell you about Jesus. He's got all sorts of tricks up his sleeves. There's guys like that, ladies like that in the church. They could do every ministry, and they do it good. You can cook. You can make things. You can build houses. You can fix cars. You can preach the Bible. There's nothing you can't do. I hate you. And then there's some people that could barely tie their shoes, so their tongues flap over. You know, I still do the bunny ears to tie my shoes. Honest to God. You know, there's just things. Then some of us are just a little bit more touched. We're just a little bit more. We don't got as many gifts. And you know what, though? You just got to know who you are in Christ. You got to come into your identity, and then you got to stay there. You got to stay in your lane and do what God's asked you to do, the trumpet sounds. You just got to get in your lane and run the race to win. That's how the church runs on all cylinders. You gotta get before David over and over. Preparation, preparation. Start counting. Do your own little study as we move through this tonight. He knows it. I'm just here to prepare. I'm just here to prepare. Some of you got a lot of money. Praise God. There's no. I said an accountant that I met the other day free with that. Like, listen, be rich. You got inventions? Yeah, I just don't want to be rich. No, you should be rich. Get rich. God's gonna use you. The kingdom needs riches. It needs money. Okay, it's the love of money, the obsession of money that's the root of all evil, not money. God's blessing you with brains and ingenuity and favor in the world. Get rich. And then give it to the church a little bit. You know what I mean? And let us spread the gospel and build balconies and expand buildings and give Bibles out and build orphanages and dig wells. Like, there's a place for it. Just what has God done in your life? What is he doing in your life? What is he showing you? Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. David's filthy rich. You understand that? He's expanded the nation of Israel to over 60,000 square miles at this point. He has subdued all of the enemies of the nation. They are subservient to him. That's how he's got all these materials. He's going to have billions of dollars of gold and silver that he's going to give to his son. So much brass that they can't weigh it to tell you how much it is. Just insane amounts of materials. And he just gives it. Here, build the house of God. You got masons, you got these guys over here that are cutting down trees. Everybody do what they're supposed to do and watch and see this thing get done. It's going to be amazing. Whatever it is, just do it all your heart. Stay in your lane. Run the race to win. He says, I'm going to make preparation. No, I know what I'm here to do. So he prepares, end of verse 5, abundantly before his death. He's old, but he's zealous when he's old. Don't lose your fire, those of you who are more seasoned in years. Like, let the Holy Spirit light you on fire tonight. I love seeing Vic. I hate to put you on spot, Vic, but I'm going to. The Bible says, let another man praise you, not your own lips. So I'm going to praise you for a minute. I see him at the gas station the other day. Jesus loves you on the side of his car. I come outside today to grab something for my truck, and his car's in the front. He's here wanting to do some project. He doesn't stop. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's got Jesus loves you on the side of his car. He's pitching it to the guys what he wants to do here to fix our parking lot, because there's humongous divots, if you haven't noticed, everywhere. Just doesn't stop. Zealous in his old age. You should be zealous in your old age. We're not supposed to get colder for the Lord. We're supposed to get hotter for the Lord. And so he calls Solomon. He's like 70-something years old right now. And he calls Solomon his son, and he charges him, verse 6, to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David says to Solomon, he says, my son, king to king here, father to son, he says, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. That's what was in my heart. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do what you wanted to do. You have shed blood abundantly, and you've made great wars. You're not going to build a house unto my name, because you've shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, instead, a son's going to be given to you who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. You guys know what Solomon means? It means peace. He's gonna bring peace. He's going to enjoy a season of peace. And I'm going to give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He is going to build a house for my name, verse 10. And he shall be, God says this, my son. And God says, and I'm going to be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. So let's pause for a second and ask ourselves this. Do we care who gets the glory as long as the work of God gets done? I mean, you work at Paychex. You work out in the world. You work somewhere. You're the mastermind behind the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're the IT guy. You're the smart guy in the back. And then you give it to the salesman, and he's the one who gets all the praise because he sells your product. And in the world, in the flesh, it's easy to get like a little bit of a chip, an ego. That like it's like, man, I'm the one who's back here staying late. Everyone's gone from the office. Sales guy's out to dinner with Joe Schmo. I'm back here, you know what I mean, just wrestling. My eyes are burning, staring at the computer screen, trying to figure this thing out. And then he goes out, and he sells it, and he makes commission and gets all his money for my product. And that's the world's mentality. But in the kingdom, the Lord will challenge us sometimes. Sometimes he'll say no to you about what's in your mind, and he'll say yes to somebody else to do what you wanted to do. And there's a challenge to us tonight. Like, will we be able to be like David and say, okay, God, you told me I can't do this, but I'm not going to just pout about it and go and whine in the corner. I'm going to just adjust a little bit here. The game plan here didn't work, so I'm going to do this here that I feel like you are calling me to, that you are leading me to. Are you willing to do that? It takes serious humility. It takes serious humility. And the thing is that God calls people to just different things in different seasons. Do you see that? God goes like this, David, you can't build a house because you're a man of war. But wait a minute. Him being a man of war is what God used to give Solomon peace. Am I good? Are you tracking with me right now? David, you can't build a house because you've been beating everybody up in the neighborhood.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.